Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Glad to see you today. Well, you know, you look at the news today and then you go, well, there's not much to talk about, but there are some nuggets out there. I mean, there is a lot to talk about, but it's kind of this weird what's coming to the top of the pot here.
I got to tell you, I like, maybe it's just the sadomasochist in me or something, but I like to every so often listen to certain podcasts that are extreme, okay?
All right, just
to hear what they're talking about. And I listened to one recently, and the discussion was, and supposedly this is an interview with one of their experts. And, you know, if I looked online to find out the guy's background, and the guy who was the, quote, expert, actually had a fairly impressive, you know, resume. So I listened to what he was saying, and the guy said, he said, look for something to happen, something big to happen, in the United States between March 15th and April the 8th. That's the window that they expect some major, he described it as a 9/11 type thing that's going to be a catastrophic event that changes the whole landscape. He says people are talking about the election like it's going to happen, and there's a lot of people who are saying it'll never happen. We're talking about the election in November. And I thought, you know, we don't talk like this. I'm much more down to earth myself. I mean, I think there will be an election. Have you ever heard stuff like that, Bill? Do you ever go online and peruse some of the other websites?
Yeah, I do. And look, you know what I like to do, and you go, oh, you don't want to listen to mainstream news. No, I do want to see what they're talking about, because that gives me kind of a clue as to what they're thinking and where they're headed and what they're afraid of by the stories that they tell and how they tell them. And then, I go to the gateway and I go, I want to get a mix of the left and the right news.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know where my heart and gut sits. So I know how to feel about it, and I know at least I can give an honest opinion. Now, you know, the fact of about 2 days from now saying something could happen between now and April 8th, it's probably a good time frame. There's too many things. There's too many pots on the stove that are boiling that something could blow up. What's the benefit of it? Well, the benefit is, you know, probably what the guy is alluding to, is that regardless of what it does to you or me and how it affects us, because I don't think these power brokers that
they
don't care about us.
No.
But what they do care about is maintaining power. And that being the case, if Joe Biden can't win, although they'll say he can stay in power, and the Democrats can stay in power. And then during that time, you know, they would suspend the election. Well, then there would be a lot of news, and the cycle would change to one thing. But the hate for Trump and what's going on against him and the false claims and indictment, and there's some big, big news brewing out there on that. Well, now it would be out of the forefront entirely, and the election would be suspended.
Right.
They could go in and say, all right,
That's the key right there, by the way. The election would be suspended.
And they would be with the focus be 100% on whatever this disaster is. They'd go in the background and say, okay, now we're going to indict him. We're going to hold a fake trial and a false trial and sit there and say, sorry, buddy, you're guilty. You're going to the gulag. And then on his way there, they Epstein him. You know, and
people say that Epstein committed suicide. You know, there was a guy. We talked about this for a little bit yesterday.
Right.
The guy that was testifying against Boeing, he was a whistleblower. And
he was found dead in his car.
Yeah, he was found. Well, he committed suicide, they said. Of course, people who talked to him that day said he was in good spirits. He was looking forward to things that were coming up. He had no depression that they could see. And all of a sudden, he was dead in his car with a silver pistol in his hand. By the way, his finger was on the trigger, and there was a suicide note conveniently placed on the passenger seat next to him. And, you know, I don't know whether you guys, I like to write screenplays and books and stuff. I like to write fiction, and I do research. And, you know, they say one of the things that's hard to do when you supposedly commit suicide is, you know, there's a reaction when you pull the trigger on a gun. That's a kickback. Mm-hmm. And for your finger to stay in the trigger, holding the trigger, it happens. It does happen, but it's not as normal as it sounds. You know, because the gun kicks back, your hand drops down, it bounces, you know, on the seat or wherever you're doing this thing. And many times your finger is not even holding, your hand isn't even holding the gun, you know, after you do something like this. So this a lot of speculation. He was complaining that Boeing had really fallen flat on quality control, that they were cutting corners big time on their Dreamliner airplane, the 787. They had deadlines. You know, they commit to different airlines that the plane will be ready by certain dates. And then they have penalties, by the way. You know, if they don't have the plane ready by a certain date, they have to start kicking back to the airline. A penalty for not having, because the airline books the planes. They have, you know, so it's not cut and dry. It's not like we won't have it ready by Monday, but we'll have it ready by Wednesday. Oh, don't worry about it. We'll wait. No, that's not how that business works. So this guy said that they were using shoddy material and shoving stuff together. You know, Bill, we talked about it yesterday. A 787-9, for no reason apparently at all, went into a nosedive, a plane filled with people, and 50 people ended up being hurt.
Well, there's a company that does the contract work for Boeing. So in other words, Boeing is a corporate shell. You know, we make planes, you know. Well, they contract things out. Now, there was a particular company where they were going through everything. And, you know, the seal of the plane and how it was done, they use dish detergent in it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they found that in the, I guess, like the forensic study. And I'm like going, so there was something going on here that's much more nefarious. It's almost like...
You mean the test, the seals on the doors and stuff like that?
I don't know if it was the test or there's some kind of way that they're put in there and there has to be some... I didn't get the gist of why it was, but it was a very important thing. But
well, you know what they do, Bill? Many times to find a leak in like a tire or something like that. Seriously. If you have soapy water with, you know, dish detergent in it. So if you put dish detergent around the seal of a door and you pressurize the cabin and you see bubbles coming from the seal, you know you got a leak right there. But you would think they would have a more sophisticated system than using dish detergent to find whether your plane is leaking.
Yeah, but you got to wonder about this. I guess what they were doing is when they put these in, they used the dish detergent as a lubricant to put the thing into place.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I think that's what they were doing. Doesn't matter. It means the guy was saying that they were using substandard parts that really didn't fit and fitting them. So may not be Boeing. It could be a contractor that is the problem. But there is something out there much more nefarious that's going on and deep. And, you know, as far as the guy, you know, committing suicide, I know of a thing that where somebody tried to do something to cover up something in family business, not mine, but they did. And so somebody said, you know, there was, you know, they wrote a suicide note. And you know, somebody with an investigator realized that this person didn't write this note, you know, and
wrong handwriting or something, or
wrong handwriting. Yes, it was. And now the person didn't go to jail or get charged. Got very well scolded because they knew damn good and well she didn't do it.
So. Well, you know, with Jeffrey Epstein, they had a private medical examiner examine the body, Michael Bodden. I think it's Michael Bodden. And he said, no, that was murder. The ligature marks weren't right. Now, mind you, they're still saying it was suicide. Every news story that you look at will say, well, Mike, you know, Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide in prison. But they don't mention the fact that they had a highly respected medical examiner, forensic examiner, examine the body and say, no, that was not, That was not suicide. He was murdered. But they just gloss over it like, well, nothing to see here.
Yeah, and a lot of people right now listening to the show goes, well, I didn't know that, because they didn't want you to know it. And that goes back to what we started out with. The major event could come up, and if it does, it is going to be the perfect camouflage to get rid of Trump. And, oh, yeah, he got really depressed. It just 91 indictments just hit him like a ton of bricks. Yeah, I'm sure it would. And there's a story about indictments and the setup that we'll do here in a little while. But
it is getting back to what we were talking about in the beginning of the show about these different theories. I hate to use the word conspiracy, because you know what they say, it's a conspiracy theory until it's proven to be factual. And these people are very well-meaning. They don't get paid money for this gentleman that I heard talk about these dates, you know, the 15th to the 8th of April. He is an expatriate. He lives overseas, and he got his information supposedly from somebody in the royal family of the country he lives in. I don't want to give you the specifics, but this is what the guy said. And I thought to myself, oh, this is ridiculous. But then, you know, I think to myself, how many things are ridiculous, or I used to think were ridiculous, have been proven to be factual over the past 3 years? You know, I mean, to think, for example, Bill, that we're living in a country that has two separate standards of law. And you may say, what are you talking about? No, this is the truth. Honest to God, there are two separate standards. We saw it on display yesterday because they had the Hur hearing. Not hearing. He testified in front of Congress, Robert Hur. He's the special prosecutor who was tasked with going into the Biden situation and the documents, the secrets that he had in his garage. And people, especially those on the left, will say, see, Joe was found innocent. The fact of the matter is that Joe was not found innocent. If you watched the hearings yesterday, Joe was found to be incompetent, but he had committed a number of different crimes. I want to play this for you. I got a lot of audio today. This is from the hearing yesterday.
And did the White House get the report before the report was made public?
We did provide a draft of the report to the White House counsel's office and members of the president's personal counsel team for their review.
No, I understand. And did the White House then, once they got the report before it went public, did the White House try to weigh in with your investigation on elements of that report and, frankly, get the report changed?
They did request certain edits and changes to the draft report.
Did you hear that? Now, people gloss over that key point. That was Jim Jordan, who is the chairman of this committee. They tried to have her, the special prosecutor, he submitted the report in advance to them. By the way, that should be illegal. If you are doing an investigation on somebody, right, you don't hand over your case to them and say, here, read it before I charge you.
You want to make some corrections in what I say about you?
Yeah, exactly. But they did that. Now, do you think that Trump has had that opportunity with
Well, he's not a Democrat. He's not a Democrat. And if he was a Democrat, he's not one that's on their team. So, yeah, he's not team Democrat. So he has no forgivable rights or rights at all. Joe, on the other hand, does. And Joe has been a thief and a crook and a liar all of his life. And if you don't believe me on that, that would take a lot of internet sweeping to take away all of his transgressions. But, you know, people don't, you know, they got the memory of a goldfish. It goes back 10 seconds and that's it. So if the Democrats or the left media can sit there and keep flooding you with all these stories, well, Joe must be a good guy. That Trump, he's got to be one bad hombre.
Yeah, it makes your eyes cross when you realize what's going on. You know, the Democrats, it was the Cantina Cafe scene from Star Wars, you know. You know, with all those characters, the different, that was what we had on the left yesterday. It's like we had Adam Schiff, we had Swalwell, all of the different characters from the left were on that committee, And they all had a narrative that they were trying to sell. Like, see, there's nothing to see here. We found him innocent, but Trump's a bad guy. And Trump is a different situation. They kept, and I'm just paraphrasing, but this is what they were trying to sell yesterday.
But, you know, they got to be careful what they try to sell. Because we're talking about Biden, and let's talk about Trump, too. Now, both of them have been, well, it's been suggested that Biden had documents. Now, he took some of those as senator. He even took some out of the SCIF, which is illegal as all hell. But either way, he's had documents for years and that he should have never had that were stored in his garage and in the trunk of his Corvette. Now, Trump had documents, and when they deem something that is sensitive, you know, it's deemed that, well, it could maybe be a little bit uncomfortable. It probably would be uncomfortable to have that information out there. It's really uncomfortable, or it's extremely. It doesn't mean it's national security entirely, but that's kind of like the scale that they use. All right, so Biden obviously had things in his trunk and in his car that are in his garage is where they found him just haphazardly around. Now, they're worried about things getting into foreign agents' hands. Well, he had Chinese people there. The Penn Center, there were Chinese operatives there, and he had them there. Trump, they say he had him at his home in Mar-a-Lago. Oh, he just threw them around in a closet. They were in the bathroom. Okay, now, let's just say in Trump's case, what were the chances that foreign nationals like Chinese or, you know, Russian agents were there? Well, I don't see any records of that. And they would have to, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom. I understand you have secret documents in there. You know, and where Biden, he had people staying at his house. You know,
yeah.
They had
free
run
point.
Of it.
They had
and
secret
hunger there.
Trump had Secret Service agents all around his place.
And Biden had Hunter with a crack pipe guarding his information.
Exactly.
With known operatives from China there.
I know.
So if you're going to get in, see, this is what they're not talking about. All right. So you're giving Biden a slide? Sorry. Then that is, and that's obvious and blatant. And the world needs to pay attention to that. You need to back off on the Smith case, because guess what? You know, and I don't even believe, you know, they have been shown bringing in and falsifying the documents.
We talked about the cantina scene a little while ago. Yeah. Jerry Nadler, a real character from the cantina, right? He was on this committee yesterday, and he thought at one point, boy, I've got her now. Listen.
At any point in your investigation, did you have any reason to believe that President Biden lied to you?
I do address in my report one response the president gave to a question that we had posed to him that we deemed to be not credible.
See, Jerry Nadler was setting him up. He was saying he thought he had the answer. At any point, did you think that the president was lying to you? Because he thought that Hur was going to say no. But Hur came back and said, no, we do address a situation where we asked him a question and we found his answer to be not credible. And seriously, Nadler kind of shrank. And to see him shrink, he's only about 5 feet, is quite a thing to see. He shrank in his chair and kind of, I'm done.
Well, it means he wasn't that well prepared, because Hur is a smart guy. Let's be honest about that. And
It was a distraction yesterday. It was a big distraction, because you have to understand something. Nothing's going to come out of this other than the fact that the Republicans are going to get a chance for the public to see that there's a two-party system here.
Well,
you know, two sides of the street as far as law is concerned.
Now, what else is going on? You know, the fanny fake clock ticks on. This is the week.
But we still have more on the Hur. We have more.
Okay, let's go back to Hur. Then we'll get back to the fanny fake clock.
Yes, we have so much to talk about. But in the meantime, my computer has decided to to give me a hard time. Yeah, so we do have a lot to talk about. You know, Ken Buck. Mm-hmm. Ken Buck is a Rhino representative from Colorado, and you know, he's been, if you need a vote for the Republicans, you cannot count on Ken Buck, because he is one of these guys who literally he enjoys being the spoiler. Okay, so he announced yesterday, Ken Buck from Colorado, that he's not just going to retire at the end of his term; he's going to retire at the end of next week. That shrinks the majority by yet another vote, and it also people don't realize this. They're having a special election in Colorado in June, and I think that's for Lauren Boebert's seat. And this is a big deal.
It goes Democrat, probably.
Pardon?
It's probably going to go Democrat.
Well, it may happen. If that's the case, it's going to change everything. It's going to change everything. You know, because he retired, we may not lose one seat. We may lose at least two seats if Boebert loses her
election. What's our majority?
Well, it was, I think, six. Now I think we're down to five votes. You know, I mean, it could be down to four. I mean, and we have other people. We have a whole laundry list of people who have said they're going to retire at the end of their term. If they all decide to follow Ken Buck, the majority may disappear, you know,
so
incidentally.
Ken Buck is not a conservative. He's not a patriot. He doesn't give a damn about what happens. And these people that are stepping aside, they know that we could be yielding power in Congress to the Democrats.
Yes.
And Pelosi is standing by. I understand she's polishing up her gavel. And you know that they are going to go back and finish what they started. So what's going to happen in the next, say, month, they better get it done with, because if they can't, the Democrats are going to get the House back, and even if they lose it again in the fall, they will have enough time to seal the fate of Trump, and he's done. And so, you know, we talked about yesterday, is Trump going to make it? You know, that right there tells me, I would say the probability of him not making it in all reality because of stupid Republicans that are only Republican by name.
Exactly.
They're not even part-time Republicans. They are just by name. Then
they're deep staters, Bill. More than anything else, they're swamp
dwellers. There's probably a 98 to 99% chance that Trump is done.
Well, you know, I think they're forgetting.
The Democrats have
but
the house,
I think they're forgetting that there's 75, 80 million people out here who are shoulder to shoulder with their nominee. By the way, he became the official nominee yesterday. They had some primaries in southern states. I think Georgia was one, Mississippi another. And Trump, he has the numbers now. He is.
They're not talking about that on the news anywhere.
They don't want to give him an ounce of any decent news at all. I mean, you have to understand something, that the news, I use the term loosely because they're anything but news. They are as much, they're like Pravda. They're like, you know, Pravda back in the Soviet Union days, TASS, another part of that same news operation in Russia in the Soviet days. We used to look at them and say, my God, they don't get the news over there. Everything's propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
We have told Pravda and TASS, you think that's something? Here, hold our beer. Because right now, NBC, ABC, CBS, they're all shills for the left. They will do anything the left says to do. You know, they get talking points. People don't realize this. The Democratic Party sends out talking points overnight to all the different news operations, and you can hear it in their newscasts. You know, ABC will say something and they'll use a phrase. And then NBC will talk about the same story and use the exact same phrase. ABC, CBS, NBC, they all use the same phrase and talking points. You know, that's not news. That's repeating. All that is repeating what they want.
Propaganda.
Yeah.
It is propaganda.
Anyway, we have a few stalwarts on the right. One of them is Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz had Robert Hur, and they were going back and forth. And Gaetz has got some cojones, as they would say. Listen.
The White House question, Mr. President, why did you share classified information with your ghostwriter? The president, I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. That's not true, is it, Mr. Hur?
That is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report.
Yeah, so it's a lie. It's just what regular people would say, right? Yeah, all right. So the next one. And all the stuff that was in my home was in filing cabinets that were either locked or able to be locked. That wasn't true either, was it?
That was inconsistent with the findings of our investigation.
Another lie, people might say, right? Because what you put in your report was among the places Mr. Biden's lawyers found classified documents in the garage was a damaged open box. So here's what I'm understanding, right? As Mr. Armstrong laid out, you find in your report that the elements of a federal criminal violation are met, but then you apply this senile cooperator theory that because Joe Biden cooperated and the elevator doesn't go to the top floor, you don't think you get a conviction. And I actually think you get to the right answer in that. I don't think Biden should have been charged. Don't think Trump should have been charged. But under the senile cooperator theory, isn't it frustrating that Biden continues to go out and lie about the basic facts of the report that lay out a federal criminal violation?
Congressman, I need to disagree with at least one thing that you said, which is that I found that all of the elements were met. One of the elements of the relevant mishandling statute is the intent element, and what my report reflects is my judgment that based on the evidence, I would not be able to prove beyond a reasonable doubt to a jury that that intent element had been
right,
met.
But the reason you have that doubt is the senile cooperator theory, the fact that Joe Biden is so inept in responding that you can't prove the intent, which again, I don't quibble with that conclusion, but it's frustrating to be like, oh, well, this guy's not getting treated the same way as Trump because the elevator's not going to the top floor, so we can't prove intent, while at the same time Biden goes out there at the White House and says, well, you know, he just blatantly lies. And what I'm trying to figure out is whether or not Biden's lying because he's still so senile, he hasn't read your report, or whether it's a little craftier and a little more devious and perhaps a little more intentional than we might otherwise think. So I also want to go to this Biden Penn Center. Did it give concern to you that the Biden Penn Center, where all this classified stuff was being mishandled, was being floated by foreign governments?
Congressman, we were concerned with getting to the bottom of all of the classified documents that were recovered during the course of our...
Yeah, but what bothers me is that the money that was paying for the place where the documents were being inappropriately held, it was the Chinese and it was other foreign countries. Did that play into your analysis? Did you look into the $1 billion in foreign funding sources at the Biden Center at UPenn, for example?
Congressman, we conducted a thorough, impartial, and fair investigation, and we were very, very concerned with getting to the bottom of all the relevant questions relating to the recovered documents.
Did you look into the fact that the Chinese were floating the place where this guy was keeping the documents unsecure? Yes or no?
Congressman, to the extent that we identified evidence that was relevant and significant to our investigation, we put it in our report.
Okay, well, it seemed relevant to me, maybe not to you. Another thing that seemed relevant to me is this ghostwriter, right? So the ghostwriter purposefully deletes this evidence that seems to be like show culpability of Biden's crimes, and you don't charge him. Why did you not charge the ghostwriter with obstructing justice and deleting evidence?
Well, for a number of reasons that are laid out in the report, but in brief, Congressman, yes, when we interviewed the ghostwriter, he did tell us, and I'm trying to get the exact language, that one of the things on his mind, one of the things he was aware of, was that I had been appointed special counsel and was conducting an investigation.
Right, so he didn't, just so everybody knows, the ghostwriter didn't delete the recordings just as a matter of happenstance. Ghostwriter has recordings of Biden making admissions of crimes. He then learns that you've been appointed. He then deletes the information that is the evidence, and you don't charge him.
That is reflected in the report, and one of the reasons.
Like, what does somebody have to do to get charged with obstruction of justice by you? If like deleting the evidence of crimes doesn't count, what would meet the standard?
So, Congressman, as we state in the relevant chapter of the report, one of the things that Mr. Zwanitzer did not delete was transcripts of the recordings that he had created that included inculpatory evidence relating to Mr. Black.
Oh, so if you destroy some evidence but not other evidence, that somehow absolves you of the evidence you destroy? Here's what I see. Zwaniger should have been charged, wasn't. Biden and Trump should have been treated equally, they weren't. And that is the double standard that I think a lot of Americans are concerned about. I see my time's expired. I yield back.
Amazing. I mean, did you catch that? He said he had audio files where Biden told him about the secret documents. He even, by the way, said to the ghostwriter, be careful with these. Like, he didn't say get rid of these. He didn't say don't read these. He didn't say, oh, give me those back because I shouldn't have given them to you. He said, be careful with these. And then when the ghostwriter heard that there was a special prosecutor who was put in charge of investigating Biden, this ghostwriter took it upon himself to take the audio files, the interviews of him and Biden, and delete them and put them in the trash bin in his computer. But he handed us transcripts. And I thought to myself, wait a second. How do you know the transcript is an accurate transcript? It wasn't done under oath. It was just they said, here's a transcript of what we said. It's like, it is ridiculous.
It could have been creative fiction.
Absolutely. Well, I think it was Jim Jordan talked about the ghostwriter, too. Listen.
What did that ghostwriter do with the information Joe Biden shared with him on his laptop? What did he do after you were named special counsel?
Chairman, if you're referring to the audio recordings that Mr. Zwanitzer created of his conversations with
exactly what I'm referring to,
he slid, if I remember correctly, he slid those files into his recycle bin on his computer.
Tried to destroy the evidence, didn't he?
Correct.
Unbelievable. I love how he says, talk about covering. He slid the files into his trash bin. No, he deleted them. He deleted the files. Let's be honest. Don't play games with words. Don't soften the blow here. This is what the guy did. And by the way, he wasn't charged with any crime. It was like, no big deal. It's just a destruction of evidence. Not a big deal.
You need to pay attention, but the deleting of files is a very important thing because it's going on in a lot of the news that's out there right now. Anyway, looks like you got more.
Oh, I got so much stuff today. It is a busy, busy, busy day. I wanted to play this today too, Bill. I wanted to show you about fairness in politics, honesty in politics. We're out there. We're hearing about the Hur case, and we're hearing about Hur saying, "Well, yes, he was really guilty, and yes, he did all these different crimes, but yes, we figured." He's kind of an old guy, had a memory issue, and we figured we would have a hard time prosecuting him. Well, first of all, last time I heard, that's usually a decision made by, call me crazy, but the judge, judge should be the guy determining whether or not there's a crime here. But this special prosecutor took it upon himself, saying, we're not going to charge him. Because, all that stuff was... And again, Bill, going back to what you said just a few minutes ago, understand something, folks. This is not a partisan thing. This is a factual thing. Forget the smoke you see on mainstream media. And it is all smoke. It is all crap out there. But they do it with a nice haircut and a real impressive set, nice music, because it always sounds very dramatic and very important. And all of these guys look intense when they're telling you this, when they're telling you the news. But understand something, that Biden had documents he didn't legally have the right to have. He was not the president. As a matter of fact, a lot of these documents that he had, he took them when he was a senator. A senator. He had.
Walked out of a skiv with him, too. Yes. And you cannot do that.
Now, let's talk about the other guy, the guy who they really want to toast over the fire, right? Donald J. Trump, right? Donald J. Trump, he walked out of the White House, and when he left the White House, you know, when he waved goodbye to the White House, understand something. He was still the president. At the time he left the White House, he was still the president. They packed up all the boxes with all that stuff that he wanted to take back to Mar-a-Lago. He was still the president of the United States of America. And by the way, he had the right to say, that's not classified. That's all he had to say. He didn't have to turn to Mike Pence and get his permission. Didn't have to turn to the Supreme Court justices and get their permission. He was the president. And he had his authority, and that's the difference.
It's a play on words, interpretation of the words, not even an interpretation. It's the one that they want to sell you on. He was the president. He can say they're not classified. He can take documents. And that four-tier system of judging or five-tier system that I was alluding to, and I tried to put it in real simple terms of how they do it, but it doesn't mean there's stuff in there about our nuclear defense system or anything like that, but it just means that there's stuff that's sensitive and could potentially offend somebody or hurt something or. But either way, with that said, Trump had the right to do that, take that, and even her kind of alludes that, yeah, that is true. If you sit there and listen carefully, Biden's getting a slide on criminal conduct and stuff that is simply treasonous, whereas Trump, he was the president. He could take that.
Yeah.
And the only thing is that if they were to sit there and say, well, you stored it in this closet, it wasn't secure, but he did have security there. There were not foreign agents there that could have gotten to it, whereas Biden, it was in the most unsecure place, protected by a crack kid with his crack pipe and agents running around while he's sitting there with his pants down and a hooker. And smoking a crack pipe. I mean,
exactly.
There's a big difference.
And you know, when asked, Bill, remember what Biden said when asked?
I did not share classified information. I did not share it.
With your ghostwriter?
With my ghostwriter. I did not. Guarantee you did not.
But the special counsel said it.
No, he did not say that.
Okay.
He did not say that.
But Mr. President, let me answer
your question. The fact of the matter is, what I didn't want repeated, I didn't want him to know, and I didn't read it to him, was I had written a long memorandum to President Obama why we should not be in Afghanistan. And I was of this multiple pages. And so what I was referring to, I said classified, I should have said it was should be private because it was a contact between the president and the vice president as to what was going on. That's what he's referring to. It was not classified information in that document.
Yeah, he didn't say things, but you know what? He gave that document to somebody that could read all the way through it, and that right there is a big-time no-no. The ghostwriters who we're talking about. Now, he had recordings, you know, according to her, that those things just, they were thrown in the trash. They were erased. Now, I have, you know, I don't have the audio, but I, you know, have a story that's related to Trump and, you know, the Biden DOJ and things of that nature. If we can go to the Fannie fake clock, because this is
that's
the
interesting.
Week.
The Fannie Willis. Are you talking about, Bill, the conversation between the White House and Fannie Willis?
Well, I was going to lead into that. Yeah, okay. I was just going to say this is the week that they are going to sit there and make a decision. Could be today, could be tomorrow, this week. Now, evidence came forward, and little Liz, Miss Liz Cheney is in that too, because apparently they had a lot of conversations. Now, this is before Fannie is even doing the Trump thing, and they shared cherry-picked conversation and things that they had. They had telephone calls, numerous telephone calls, predating everything. Collusion, by the way, and it's simple collusion with, you know, Liz Cheney, things that go to connect to Pelosi and everything. Yeah. And these recordings, all of a sudden, they said, delete them, get rid of them. But the record still remains that Fannie had the calls that predate all of this stuff, and there is collusion.
So wait a second. You're saying that Fannie Willis, the district attorney from Fulton County in Georgia, was in conversation with Liz Cheney and the January 6th committee?
Absolutely. It's documented.
You know, I don't know. So, I don't know how many laws were broken, but I know a ton were broken.
Well, you know, she talks about RICO, which is simply put, if it's done through the mail, if it's done over phone, then it becomes wire fraud, interstate wire fraud, a RICO violation. I know about RICO because I was involved with a RICO case, so I know what the things are. And that's where it is. And she's doing that with Fulton County.
Yeah.
And the real RICO violator is Fannie herself. So, yeah, that's how she knows about it, because they committed a RICO violation, let alone collusion fraud. The list goes on and on. So you know what I think about all that news that I just told you?
Mm-hmm.
I think Fannie's going to get a wash this week. I really think, because even though the judge looks good and everything like that, I pray he surprises me. But he is an appointee that comes from the left, and they are not going to let their dirty laundry.
I think in Fulton County, I think he's up for re-election. I think he's running for that position. So
things have changed. You know, they've redistricted there in Georgia.
What you're saying, though, is that we can't count on him to do the right thing because
because
he is corruptible, like so many other judges have been.
They're realigning their players on the board here to try to they're not entrapping Trump because he's done nothing wrong. But what they want to do is, you know, circle the wagons around and distract you while they sit there and,
you're saying this
hijack
is this is the deep state flexing its muscle, saying, I don't care what you do or what kind of robes you wear. You're paying attention to what we tell you to pay attention to.
That's right.
Wow. You know, Bill.
So, I don't trust what's going on out there. It stinks. But
this goes, by the way, to the whole election down the road, 2024. Is it going to happen? Mm-hmm. Forget about whether it will be fair or not. Is it even going to happen?
It will happen if they can find a way to eliminate Trump, and I say that in the most
cynical
of ways. Whatever they got to do, they will do. If they can do it between now and the election, because now he is the candidate. Nobody talks about it.
I said to my wife recently. I said, you know, he's got to have a plan. I'm talking about Trump. He has got to have a plan. He and his people have got to have something mapped out that we are not privy to, because otherwise it's just like committing suicide.
Well, I see. Now, here's the problem that I see. You can't have a plan if the playbook is so fluid on the other side and they have control of things. I mean, he's got to sit there to be able to run and gun, and that is what he's doing. They may have an objective, they may have a skeleton plan, but it's got to be fluid, too, because these bastards are changing the rules, things, distracting. And, you know, you said something important that the White House gives out, you know, talking points. They send out their playbook. The Republicans don't do that. You better start playing the game, folks, because if you're not doing it right, I have a lot of ways I could say it, and none of them are pure and clean, so I'll just say these bad boys are going to get away with it.
Letitia James was in front of the New York Fire Department over the weekend, I believe, in New York City, and here's how it went. Listen.
Oh, come on, we're in a house of God. First, simmer down. I want to thank Commissioner Kavanaugh and Chief Hodgins for that recognition.
Did you hear that? She's trying to talk, and they're chanting in the background, Trump, Trump, Trump. Only reason why I play that, Bill, is we're talking about the deep state. There's a follow-up. There's a follow-up to what happened at that ceremony.
Oh, they're, where they're, they were, they're They're tracking these guys down.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yes,
they're using
yes.
video. They're tracking him down. Now, they say, hey, look, guys, you did this on company time.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want in your own time. But it's actually going farther than that. You don't say that could have been just an address. Guys, we don't know who you are. We could, but we don't. We don't care. Just keep it, you know, out of the workplace. And that would have been sufficient. I've done those kind of memos before. Hey, look, what happens here, you know, that is what happens here. You don't take your work home with you and, you know, but you're free to practice as long
it,
as
you know, there's
you
a
keep
freedom
us
of,
out of it.
A freedom of speech, you know, and
yeah.
for them they're saying if you come forward, because we have your pictures. Now, I saw the video. I didn't see any pictures. I saw the camera trained on Letitia, and that's where it stayed. But they're saying we have pictures of who was doing the chanting. And if we have to come to you, you're going to be in serious trouble. But well, if you come to us, and you know what they're going to send them up to do? Listen to this. They're going to send the firemen to re-education classes if they come forward. If you come forward and say, okay, I chanted Trump, then we're going to send you to re-educate. Exactly right. Exactly
well,
right.
Brainwashing sometimes isn't really brainwashing. It's you're given an ultimatum. You want to keep your job. You want to stay safe. You want your family to be safe. You are going to toe this line. You don't have to believe it, but you got to toe this line.
Well, let me ask you a question. Who has the strength here? Does these officials in the fire department and Letitia James, are they the people with the power? Or is it the firemen who have the power? I would submit this. I would tell every fireman who chanted Trump, first of all, I applaud you. Bravo. You did what a lot of people haven't got the courage to do. But secondly, I would say to my representative, you tell them, the officials at the fire department, if you bring one of our guys up on any kind of a charge or embarrass one of our guys for doing what he has a right to do because he's an American citizen,
well,
we're going to shut the fire department down, and you're going to have a real problem because nothing is going to get put out, and the city is going to burn. How does that sit?
Well, here's your problem. A union and a union boss could say that, but is a union boss going to do something that would be slightly...
No, they have fire... They have not just... I'm not talking about a union boss. I'm talking about... They have representatives.
Representatives. Yeah. But you know what? I would say, number one, they don't have evidence, because when they say, look, we're going to give you a chance to come forward because we don't have anything, but come forward and we're going to do this.
Yeah, so we
number
can
one,
you,
never trust that smiling face because they're not true. But on the other hand,
trust me,
side
I'm on your
case,
side.
Don't worry. You know, we're going to take care of you. Yeah, all the way to the grave.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you know, don't come forward, live your life, but make sure that you're in clear sight of everything. Don't go walking down a dark alley alone. That's all I'm telling you.
Well,
you might have these suicidal thoughts, you know, they come over somebody in the middle of nowhere.
If you're a fireman in New York, don't step forward. Okay. That's my suggestion. Yeah. Flip them the proverbial fickle finger of fate and go to work and do your job. And don't cause any problems. Don't be a you had a right to express your dissatisfaction with Letitia James. I would have done the same thing if I were there.
You know, I'm really surprised that Letitia didn't burst into flames when she said this is a house of God. But
hey, you know what else she said yesterday? She said Donald Trump better come forth with the whole bond, $450 million, or give us the, what is it, 40 Wall Street building that's worth at least that much money, and we'll take
that
as...
more than that.
Yeah, we'll take that as your surety, right? I mean, this lady, she sees that
building. What would they do with it? Because they really can't do anything with it, but they would find a reason to put the illegals in there, take it up, strip it of the gold and everything.
Can you imagine? They would kick out the tenants, the high-end tenants who work at 40 Wall Street, and they would put, you know, all these illegals who came across the border, just like you said, put them up in the empty space. Oh, my
God.
Well,
Trump has a residence up there. That would be the first place to go to the scummiest of scum, And, you know, and they would say, you know what? Don't worry if the plumbing doesn't work. Just yeah. use the carpets. Use the, really, you know, do that. Yes. Use the sink.
We have maid service here. Really enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I mean, they are disgusting, rotten, foul.
Yes, that is really people. Gold leaf you're seeing there. Take it as much as you want, really.
That's all yours.
Well, you know, this is Letitia. She wants to hurt Trump badly, badly, any way she can. Now, Trump and his people are, this is why, Bill, I got to think, in all honesty, there's got to be something we're not seeing here. It has to be something deeper. Now, that's why I do think there's a possibility that there's going to be a distraction, a disaster and a distraction, so that they can not have the elections, at least when they say the elections are supposed to be. We're going to postpone it for a year because we've had such a terrible tragedy and we've got to get back on our feet. I mean, God forbid, I know people are saying, oh, they wouldn't do that. That's such a ruthless, terrible thing. No, listen, friends, there are some ruthless, terrible people in this world that we live in. You just don't see them. They're there. And, you know, we've got this. It's time to wake up. It's time. You know, our country wasn't always this way. Our country was built on honesty, integrity, and the right things. And we had guys live and die for that right thing. But somewhere along the line, the creeps got a hold of our country. They snuck in the back door.
They've got in control of, well, everything that they've got in the control of everything that's in control. I mean, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Yeah. By the way, the curtain is the media, is what it is. So,
yep, that's, you know, very good, Bill. Very, very good. I like that. The Wizard of Oz.
Well, speaking of which, you know, we talked about freedom of speech today, all right? And there is a platform out there. Now, we're not talking about Facebook. Facebook, the stock went down because Trump was talking about, you know, they're a minion of the left, you know, and that's that. And, you know, when TikTok came onto the scene, everyone said, it's Chinese, it's China, and all that stuff. But, and, you know, there are some, look, there's transgender stuff on there. There's some foul stuff on there. But, you know, I've seen Muslim chant things on there. I've seen Democratic rants on there. Trump has taken to it. I got a TikTok channel out there.
You know, there are two separate TikToks. You know that, right? There's one in China and one in the U.S.
But either way, the one in the U.S. is the one we all use, and a lot of people use it, and a lot of people have gone in there as an influencer, and what I'm saying, they've made money on it. How they make money? They go and they find an affiliate thing, or they find something like that, the drop shipper, and they talk about something, and they help businesses out. Trump is saying, you know, leave TikTok alone. You know what we're voting on today? Because a lot of people on the right have gone to TikTok for a quick way. Because they get the word out real quick. It's gotten big. But today, it's up to vote to be banned in the U.S. Now, you try to go take a conservative message and put it on Facebook.
Do you know what happened yesterday?
What?
Rumble sent a letter to TikTok and said, we understand this bill's coming forward and it's going to change your situation in the U.S. We are offering to buy TikTok USA from you. So, because they can, it's an American, well, actually, I think Rumble has its headquarters in Canada, but.
Yeah, they are Canadian.
Yeah, but they're not, but they have all their servers in the U.S. So, actually, they would be the perfect fit. They're a high-tech company. They've already got a major platform, and they could absorb TikTok and give the U.S. what they wanted, the controls that they want. Right now, they're afraid that TikTok is ruining a generation of our people because they're making them minds of mush, you know? I mean, over in China.
Oh, and the news hasn't done that?
Well, it's true. You look at TikTok, though, over in China, and they're talking about mathematics and how to be a smarter Chinese citizen. And all these things are different. Their whole approach on TikTok China is different than the crap they're throwing at our kids over here.
Well, they do have some Chinese lessons that are on TikTok here. I learned how to cuss in Chinese.
I'll bet you did.
No, they give you lessons, and they tell really? You how to say all the bad words.
I'll bet
and
you.
I was like, I was laying in bed one night, and I'm going, I'm getting a real education here. I don't know where I'm going to be able to use that. But
hey, you know, I wanted to play this before we ended the show today. I want to show you why you have to pay attention to all of the news and what you're hearing as we approach maybe the election, if the election happens. President Trump was interviewed on CNBC, and they were talking about Social Security, you know, and mm-hmm. what was going to happen with Social Security if he is president again. I want you to hear, this is the clip that the Biden people released of that interview. Listen very carefully, specifically to the ending. It's only about 20 seconds long.
You changed your outlook on how to handle entitlements, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, Mr. President. It seems like it something has to be done, or else we're going to be stuck at 120% of debt to GDP forever.
So first of all, there is a lot you can do in terms of entitlements, in terms of cutting and
they clipped it right there in terms of cutting Social Security. That's what they wanted to reference. They wanted to sell an idea that President Trump wanted to cut your Social Security. Now I want to play for you the whole answer.
Have you changed your outlook on how to handle entitlements, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, Mr. President? It seems like something has to be done, or else we're going to be stuck at 120% of debt to GDP forever.
So first of all, there is a lot you can do in terms of entitlements, in terms of cutting, and in terms of also the theft and the bad management of entitlements, tremendous bad management of entitlements. There's tremendous amounts of things and numbers of things you can do. So I don't, you know, necessarily agree with the statement.
You see what he said there? It's a completely different ending, a completely different answer.
It was a setup question.
But the Bidens, when they got to a certain point in his answer where they could make it sound like one thing, they clipped it. They cut it. That was the answer.
Well, the simple fact is the guy that does want to cut Social Security is Joe Biden.
Well, you don't want to
admit to
that.
Because he has said it, but we got to go back and dig into the audio. But he has said it. He said it in his past. He still believes it, you know, and because he doesn't need it. And by the way, I think he gets something like a $5,000 or $6,000 Social Security check a month, maybe a little higher. You know, Jill gets it too, plus his presidential salary, because he's past 65, 67, whatever his retirement age was. He gets to keep that and keep all the other money. I think when somebody gets above a certain level, and, you know, that puts me in the same boat, you know, the simple fact is, you probably shouldn't get that money. That money, he doesn't need it. He's got all this other money. It's been proven he's got millions and millions and millions. Why does he need that check?
And remember what Biden thinks of
the safety net.
Remember what Biden thinks of MAGA.
Every day between now and November, the American people are going to know that the only reason the border is not secure is Donald Trump and his MAGA Republican friends. Look, this is not your father's Republican Party. 30% of it is made up of these MAGA Republicans who are maybe democracy is something they don't look at it the same way you and I look at democracy.
Unbelievable. This is such a hateful guy in the White House right now. He's not sending a broad net out to bring everybody in and to hug the entire country. No, this guy, this weasel in the White House, he wants to tell you that you MAGA witch, you MAGA person, you are evil and non-democratic. You don't believe in the world he believes in.
Well,
thank
the Democrats
God.
Believe they own democracy because their name is Democrat, you know, so they think it's all for them and none for anybody else with an opposing view or opinion.
Now, Bill, I have one more piece of audio that I think we should play because I don't think we should end on a down note. Do you?
That's hard to do because I've got all kinds of things, but you know what? I'll try to be positive and leave it alone.
Okay, let's end on a smile. This is a video report from an Indiana news TV station, a news cast, and so there's some video you don't see. One at the end of this, you'll hear the father of the son. But I want you to hear a report that should bring a smile to your MAGA face.
Wherever 17-year-old Cameron Blazek goes, so does Old Glory.
The flag itself represents this country, this beautiful country that we live in.
He fastened the flag to his truck this summer.
It's very strongly secured in there. I mean, you can't pull that out if you tried.
It abides by the U.S. flag code.
I got pulled aside by my counselor and vice principal, and they told me, hey, you got to remove the flag off the back of your truck. And I kind of looked at him. I said, no. I said, it's not going to happen. I said, I can't.
Cameron held the line.
Read through East Central's 2023-2024 handbook, and the word flag wasn't even mentioned in the parking lot or driving section. The only section it's mentioned in is the flag twirling section.
Boy.
The next day at school, others showed up with flags of their own.
There was a huge support group there that believed and stood for the same thing that I did, and I was kind of shocked by that.
That's when the principal sent a letter to parents Friday to, quote, address recent concerns and confusions, writing, I am pleased to inform you that we are allowing the display of the U.S. flag by students in the parking lot. Principal Black clarified to WCPO in an email that there has never been a complaint about the U.S. flag. One literally hangs above the parking lot, and that school administrators decided Friday they would, quote, prohibit other flags if they were determined to be offensive. A social media post about all this went viral.
I was pretty surprised by it that it got so many views and pretty much that it got the attention it did.
There are veterans in this family, and Cameron himself is considering serving.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of him. He stood his ground and stood up for what he believed in.
The American flag has been politicized in recent years. One poll shows 83% of Republicans have a very positive view of the American flag. That number drops to 49% for Democrats.
I think everybody gets offended over something that doesn't mean what everybody says it does. This flag represents our country and the people who died for it and fought for it, and I respect that with my whole heart.
Old Glory, sparking new debate.
Old Glory sparking new debate. That is a dumb way to end. But here's the thing. That kid gives hope to our country. He's a young man. You know, if he had had an LGBTQ plus flag draped on the back of his truck, they wouldn't have said anything. But the American flag where guys charged the beaches of Normandy and many of them were just mowed down in the prime of their life for our country. You know, guys ran up the beaches at Iwo Jima and other places like that and died in the most horrible way so that we could be free. And this kid has got a flag that salutes them, and they have the audacity to say, you got to take the flag off your truck. Ooh. Hey, kid, right on. Good for you. Congratulations. You make me feel good. There is hope for our country. And I don't know how you feel about that, but I do know how you feel about that.
I saw this story yesterday. It was a good story.
Yep, I'm glad that a TV station had the courage to air it. Yeah, exactly. Of course, they had to qualify it at the end. You know, Old Glory stirring up more debate.
You know, let's be honest. Let's just be honest here. You know, I think more people on the right, probably all of the right, love the flag. I don't think you can say that about people on the left. Not everybody on the left, but a lot of lefties. There's people that, you know, we talked about the White House. They send out their talking points to all the media. The other things that they do, there's a place where you can go and get the meme of the day, and it's the nasty Trump meme. And all the lefties are really happy to throw that out there. Mm. And that's the game that they play. That's not done on the right. We don't send out the talking points. Most of the talking points come from we the people. You know, it's...
We don't play by the same rules. You know, this goes to the herd thing. The herd thing is, you know, what's right for thee is not right for me, you know, or vice versa.
Well, we've either got to win this war or we got to fight like them. But when we fight like them, do we become them?
Well,
see,
I mean
that is a perplexing place to be, because to beat you, I got to be like you. you know.
Well, yesterday you were saying we got to fight fire with fire.
I believe that. I believe that, you know, I think you have to draw the line to where we're not going to sit there and be untrue to ourselves and outwardly lie. They purport lies, but, you know, there are, you know, we can sit there and make fun of Biden in a very obvious way. He's done so many things. I would say feel free to do it, but here's your problem. The problem is, you know, you'll get kicked off of Facebook. You can sit there and show a very orange Trump walking around and very fat walking around in a loaded diaper. But the only guy that looks like he's got a diaper full walking is Biden.
And Trump, by the way, the Trump stuff is Photoshopped for the most part.
Or cartoonish. But I'm saying they put that out there and that's funny. It's got to be shared by everybody. And sometimes I think some of the shares are generated by, you know, Facebook, because I'm like going, are they all idiots? Every single Democrat an idiot? And if you're a Democrat, I'm asking you, are you an idiot?
Hey, before we wrap this thing up, I just want to read this. I want you to remember this as you close out the show. And this is serious. We talked about the HER report, you know, a 345-page report. I want to read to you the key elements that you should take away from the testimony yesterday. Biden tried to change the classified documents report before it was publicly released. That was one. Number two, Biden willfully retained classified materials after the end of his vice presidency as a private citizen. Number three, Biden lied when he insisted he did not share classified information with his ghostwriter. He said it. We played the tape. Biden's ghostwriter tried to destroy evidence soon after the special counsel was appointed to investigate the classified document scandal. Number five, HER said he did not exonerate Joe Biden. That's what he said. I didn't exonerate Joe Biden. Oh, yeah? But you didn't charge him either, Robert. And finally, Biden forgot when he was vice president and couldn't remember the year that his son Beau died. Now, these are all things that they were facts that came to light in the investigation, the special investigation of Biden. Any one of these could have sent Joe, not except maybe the last one, where he couldn't remember when he was vice president. But the other stuff, you know, changing the classified documents report before it was publicly released, that sounds illegal to me. You know, there's a lot here that was said that proves that Biden committed crimes, yet they didn't charge him. Why are they going after a guy who was president at the time who had the right to have these documents?
Well,
I don't know.
And there's a big thing, you know, it still looms out there. You know, does the president have immunity? And that's important in Trump, and that's very important in Biden. And I think that's the stumbling block. So that gets back to earlier, we talked about a distraction. They don't have to worry about that immunity clause if something bad happens to Trump when nobody's looking.
I think they're bringing up the immunity thing in the Supreme Court in April.
Yeah, well, and something's going to happen between the 13th of this month and
the 8th of April.
Does the wheel spin the alarm go off?
You can't see this, folks, but I'm blessing myself right now. Anyway, hey, my friend, I'm looking at the clock on the wall. We did it again. Another show finished in the can. It's done.
Yeah, my clock flew off the wall. Well,
a very, very fast clock.
It's the only thing fast in this room.
Our number is 833-538-7868. 833-538-7868.
Mail at itsanotherday.com. Mail at jimandbill.com. jimandbill@mail.com. So there's a lot of ways to get in touch with us. We're on the Podbean platform. You can go to our website to get to our shows. We're over on what used to be Anchor. It's Spotify for podcasts now.
Yeah.
I only mention that because if anything ever happens, you know, we're out there. You can find us. And we
always back the show up. And we backed the show up
well
since we started doing this almost 3 years ago.
Yeah, and you know what? One of the places where we put the show, the main place, caught him in a lie. You know, where yep. you know numbers don't go backwards, and we know that we have a big audience.
They
out
don't
there because we. No, no, they don't. I mean, I was sitting there going, "Wow, that's really good. Those numbers look great at 8 o'clock in the morning." Although, the number on the particular show.
Well, I mean, tell us to the people who count the votes in 2020.
I think they got a job at this place because all of a sudden, this number that was right here, I'm going, "That's good," and that's right. You know, yeah. after we you know that was right at the beginning. You know, when we posted it. And then it grew, and then it grew, and then all of a sudden it got to, you know, like 10, 10:30.
Yeah.
And then it just dropped.
Yeah.
But, and I'm going, how did the people call and say, "Hey, I didn't really listen to the show"?
Hey, that's why.
Or did you guys?
We have most of our listeners, I'm sure, on the streaming sites. Yeah, absolutely. But, so, and you know what the different independent organizations say about our numbers, so. I'm not terribly worried about, but I do think that, see, here's the problem, Bill. You know, in that business, there's a lot of young leftists who, they work in these organizations, and they get irritated when they hear these two level-headed conservatives doing a successful podcast. They just don't want to see it succeed. So I'm not saying it's a conspiracy theory, but
the office is to the place that we do that thing with, and we pay for this. It's in New York, and I'm like going, oh, okay, so I know where you guys are camped, and then that's fine, you know. Yes. But you know, I'm just saying, we're always going to be out there as long as you're breathing, I'm breathing. We're always going to be out there.
Yep.
You know.
Hey, listen, I think we're done. There's only one thing that we haven't done yet. One thing left to do, and it's something you do at the end of every show.
It's something that I do. I do this.
You do this.
I do. Okay. Well, then I'm gonna do. Hey, hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.